coming up on All Access.
Together, 60 minutes, playing our best ball. Make plays. Playmaking on three. One, two, three. All right.
Hit by Matthew Slater, more decision to come out.
Six and two. We'll take it.
Good job, Matty P. Great playing.
Special teams does another great job today. Great job.
How do we feel about a victory Monday, though?
It means a lot for me to be out on the field for our team. It's a big commitment for me to be out there, and I take that very seriously.
Bill Belichick shocked the football world on Monday when he sent Jimmy Garoppolo to the San Francisco 49ers.
It's a complex situation on a lot of levels, and that we felt was best.
Halfway point of the season, and the Patriots glass is more than halfway full at the midterm. Hello and welcome to Patriots All Access presented by Geico. I'm Steve Burton. A 6-2 record is good for first place in the division as the Patriots hit their bye week right in the middle of the season. And what would a bye week be without a big deal? New England stunned the NFL and their fan base by trading backup quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo to the San Francisco 49ers for a second round pick in next year's draft. Dan Roach has more on the trade and the team's reaction.
With a game-sealing interception, Jonathan Jones!
After closing out their first half with a hard-fought 21-13 win over the LA Chargers, the Patriots hit their bye week with a 6-2 record.
Touchdown, Patriots!
Attaboy, Jimmy!
Just over 24 hours later, with the NFL trade deadline looming, the Patriots pulled off a stunner, sending quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo to San Francisco for a 2018 second-round draft pick.
Bittersweet. You know, as a player, one thing you'll never get used to is seeing guys come and go. As far as Jimmy's concerned, you wish him nothing but the best.
To see him get an opportunity to go out there and play, especially for me, an older guy, to see, you know, his growth from when he came here as a rookie until now, you know, I think it's very exciting.
I got to watch him develop and kind of grow up in his first few years here, and I'm excited to see what he does with his new opportunity.
Good rhythm by Garoppolo here.
Garoppolo showed great promise in his 3+ seasons as Tom Brady's backup. We sat down with Garoppolo several times over the summer to get his thoughts on his situation and time in New England.
You know, 5 years, I hope I'm starting established franchise quarterback. You know, that's the dream of every quarterback. You want to be the guy. But everything happens for a reason. You know, I've lived my life by that. And gotten 2 Super Bowl rings in the last 3 years, so that's always positive. And I love it here. It's a great place, great organization. We have the best fans.
Meanwhile, the Patriots signed Brian Hoyer this week after he was released by the 49ers. The 9-year veteran returns to his original team as he served as Tom Brady's backup for 3 seasons.
Brian's a smart guy. It'll be a, you know, kind of a cram session here, but I don't expect that to take forever.
Next up after the bye this weekend for the Patriots, a trip to always tough Denver, where the Patriots will face the Broncos. Since Bill Belichick took over as coach in 2000 of the Patriots, the Pats just 4-5 in the regular season out there, 0-2 in the playoffs. From the CBS scene, for Patriots All Access, I'm Dan Roach.
All right, Dan, thank you very much. Well, we are here with our panel discussion with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. I'll let you say it.
Top of the show. Must be something big,
something
Steve.
I thought the clock was wrong. I don't think we changed the clocks until tomorrow night.
All right, well, let's talk about that something big. Surprised that Garoppolo is gone?
It was a surprise to me. And it's not completely out of left field, stunning. You know, Mike, you and I talked a lot after these shows off air about how we didn't believe that 2018 would feature both Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo on the roster. And something had to happen, obviously, for that to take place, and here we are. I was surprised, Steve. It did. Anytime you make a move like that, and I know we always expect the Patriots to make a move at the trade deadline, but every time it happens, we're surprised by it.
Right. So I was surprised, shocked, stunned. Give me another word. Yeah. I mean, and put it in all capital letters and a couple exclamation points
astonished
at the end. All that, Steve. And here's why. I mean, go back to everything Bill Belichick has said over the last couple years about the quarterback position and how if you don't have that position accounted for at all layers of your depth chart, you put the entire team at risk. So everything that Bill Belichick has said the last 3-4 years about that position with all the moves they've made, this runs completely counter to everything he talked about.
So let me ask you this. Why now? Let's talk about the timing of this.
Yeah, I think it is interesting. And, you know, you listened to Bill talk earlier in the week, and he talked about this being, you know, the last window that they had to do this. Now, I did find that a little bit curious, and that was his explanation. And certainly I think he felt that way. I don't think he was trying to paint any kind of a different picture. But I do wonder, Mike, about the possibility, why not ride it out for 8 more weeks and then see what you can do, come the offseason, mm-hmm. whether it be a franchise tag and trade it. And if not, if you can't do that, then so be it. You let that asset go, and it's not ideal, but you let someone sign him and you move on from there. I do feel like there was other options that I don't think necessarily Bill really delved into.
And I want to focus on what Bill Belichick said when he said this was the last chance, because I think it needs more context. I think it's the last chance, ... if you want to get something in return of value for that asset. And that's what I think he was meaning.
I would just ask, why not get a second-round pick, sign him to the franchise tag, trade him like you did Matt Cassel?
Exactly.
I mean, the precedent is there. They did it already.
Yes.
I know it's not the easiest thing to do. There's a little bit more red tape involved.
Yes.
Maybe they felt this was the path of least resistance.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there were other options.
Yes.
Again, we'll never really
and
know
they
why.
They clearly could have done that. I think what he was trying to avoid was how that would cripple the rest of their ability to make moves and the rest of the roster. They'd have to move some salaries around. They could have done it. Paul's right.
Sure.
But I do wonder if there's a part of Bill Belichick that wanted to place Jimmy Garoppolo somewhere that maybe couldn't hurt them. So I agree with what Paul said.
So
I mean, you
know,
and you put him out in San Francisco in the NFC instead of maybe an AFC team.
All right, guys, you're on early in the show. You'll be on later
we'll
in the show
later.
As well.
Good thing I took a nap.
Good thing you did. We'll be back with more Patriots All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
Relive the sights and sounds from Sunday's win over the Chargers. And later, we sit down with Patriots quarterback Tom Brady.
You know, I always think you can get a percentage or two off a week, and over the course of five weeks, and you're 10% off of, you know, where you want to be.
You're watching Patriots All Access, and I do too.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. By Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to All Access, presented by GEICO. Lost in the trade deadline, wheeling and dealing, is that New England goes into the bye week winners of 4 straight. Let's look back at the sights and sounds from their win over the Chargers.
The sounds of the game are brought to you by Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots.
Week 8 encounter of the New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Chargers.
Together 60 minutes, playing our best ball. Playmakers on 3, 1, 2, 3.
Today's about opportunity and character. We got a chance to come out here and play football. It's a blessing.
Sweet drop step to the outside. Here's James White. Reloads it left, right, ball, touchdown, Patriots.
hit by Matthew Slater. Poor decision to come out. Returns it back toward the end zone. Oh, up inside the goal line.
Jonas,
he is good. Yeah, Lewis, first pass, 25-30. Pass, go back down the right side, 35.
Swing the right leg, Adam.
He is good.
That's a good drive. He got four. Obviously, we'd like to score the touchdown then. But that's what it is, okay?
60 minutes, okay? 60 minutes! 60 minutes now. Let's keep fighting, guys. 60 minutes, all right? Let's grind it out.
1 second to go. Patriots layer of the end zone with defense. Throws it toward the goal line. Intercepted inside.
You try to knock it out. Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
6-2.
We'll take it.
Good job, Matty P. Great playing. Way to go.
All right, man. First of all, special teams, that was another great job today. Great job. Block field goal, kickoff return, punt coverage, kickoff coverage. I mean, there's a lot of good football out there. All right. We left a bunch of plays out on the field, but made enough of them. All right. Told you it would come down to situational football, which it did. Came down to the last play. All right. Well, nice job here, John. It's a way to take care of business. All right. All right, fellas, look, we'll see you Wednesday. Congrats, man.
As we head into the bye week, we're going to go here. We're going to learn. We're going to improve. We're going to get healthy. How do we feel about a victory Monday, though?
Time now for Coffee with the Coach, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access here at the bye, and the coach joins me at the bye. Coach, team's in pretty good shape, but before we get to talking about the bye week, let's talk about the Charger game real quick here. You keep spots open on your roster specifically for special teams, and is that a great example, what transpired on Sunday, to show how important special teams? I know you have a lot of starters that do contribute on special teams, but having core special teams players just strictly for those type of plays and how impactful they were.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a tremendous performance by our special teams units, all of them, our coverage teams, our return teams, field goal block, and kick four field goals. So it was a lot of production from those units. Those guys work hard. And as you said, we have some core guys that's their primary roles playing the kicking game. Then we have, some other players that also have roles on offense and defense that contribute. But, I mean, overall, those groups, work well. And we got, good play from a lot of guys in those units. Joe and Bubba, yeah, as usual, did a great job with the coaching and preparation, calling the game. So it was a big difference for us in the game.
Okay, deadline, you were always open for business, trades. You made some adjustments on your football team. I know you made the statement regarding the Jimmy deal that it's a unique deal. Fair to say that's one of the more unique deals you've done. Without getting into details, I know you've already stated.
Yeah, absolutely.
What it is.
Yeah, it's just there's so many. It's a complex situation on a lot of levels, and in the end, we kind of got to the final window here, and did what we felt was best.
Okay, 6-2. You're sitting at the bye. Grade the first half, not specifically each single thing, but there's a lot of teams that would wish they could be 6-2 at the bye.
Yeah, I think our record's, what it is. It could be better, it could be worse, but it's, it's competitive. Just feel like we've left a lot of plays on the field. We've given up too many big plays on defense, and we haven't been able to score offensively.
Right.
We haven't been good in the red area. We've missed a lot of opportunities. We've missed some big play opportunities. And our kicking game has been good, pretty consistent, but we've left plays on the field there, left yards on the field, particularly in the return game. So still a lot of things we need to tighten up on overall, too many penalties. And, even though we're on the plus side of the turnovers, if we had more turnovers, we'd have more a positive ratio. So we need to turn the ball over, and even though we haven't lost that many, we've had too many fumbles. Fortunately, we've been able to recover some of those fumbles, particularly in the Houston game, which, saved us. But We gotta keep the ball in our possession a little bit better. So there's certainly a lot of things we can improve on.
Time now for the A's Ticket Twitter question of the week, and it comes from @RealPMAC. I'm getting pretty good with these. Let's bring it full circle now. What traits do make a good special team player when you're sitting there and you're not recruiting, but you're attempting to bring a player under your roster? What are the traits you look for?
Well, as we know, the kicking game is played in a lot of space, so speed's a big factor. Combined with size, obviously you need fast players, but you can't put all corners out there. You need linebacker types and tight end, fullback types, somewhere along the line, running backs. So this combination of size, speed, overall just ability to play in space, so quickness, tackling, understanding leverage, and that aggressiveness to go down there. And it's one thing to run fast time on a clock at Indy when there's nobody in front of you. It's right. Another thing to run that same time when there's 10 guys sitting up on a kickoff return and a runner behind them. So the aggressiveness, the ability to play fast when it's kind of somewhat chaotic out there, takes a special mentality and a special awareness to be able to play full speed and be able to avoid the potentially big collisions that can occur in those plays.
Got to be a little nuts to run down under kicks too.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, great stuff right there, Coach. If you want to ask the coach a question, you have to follow the team on Twitter @Patriots, #AskBB. Take a look at a couple plays here at the bye. I know we don't really have the Bells trader, but some highlights from San Diego.
Right, and we need to look at some of the special team plays because that was a big factor for us in the game.
All right, Coach, sit tight right there. More Patriots All Access right after this. We'll take a look at those plays later. All right, welcome back to Patriots All Access. We do this every year during the bye week. The quarterback's in. How many more years are we going to be doing this? Like 20 more years, right?
Probably not that many. But I always enjoy being here with you, Zoe.
That's good. It's good seeing you, man. You look great. I'm 50 this year. I know your age. I know your age is talked about a lot. But you're leading a football team right now that's 6-2 at the bye. Assess the first half as quickly as you can.
Well, I think, we being 2-2 and losing to Carolina at that moment and then, 4 weeks later being 6-2 feels good for all of us. So, I wish we'd be 8-0, but that's not where we're at. And, it's been a lot of ups, but there's been some downs, and hopefully we can play our biggest games, as we move forward.
I'm out there at every camp practice, watching you drop back, everything that you do, whether you're on the bands, whether you're inside, outside, 7-on-7, team periods, everything is filmed behind you, in front of you, up in the sky.
Yeah.
As far as the self-scouting, how much self-scouting tape do you do stuff at the bye? Do you bring Tom House in? What do you do at the bye?
Well, I'm always working on my techniques, my fundamentals. I mean, I think that's a daily thing for me because you don't want to just, I always think you can get a percentage or two off a week and over the course of five weeks and you're 10% off of, where you want to be with, whether certain quarterbacking techniques or, things like that. So you got to really stay sharp. So I'm film a lot of those things so I can watch it daily, know really what I'm looking for and, you've got to be sharp.
I try to tell people this every day when they call in. I do radio, if you don't know. So they talk about your footwork. I say, he didn't have this footwork 14 years ago. The ability to slide up. Like 3rd and 11, 3rd and 9 nowadays is a doable thing, where 3rd and 11, 14 years ago was handed to Kevin Faulk and you guys are punting.
Yeah, that was part of our offense. I think a lot of times we try to play very situational. We got in those situations, and I think now we're much more aggressive. And Josh does such a great job of putting us in situations, even when we're in those, that we feel like they're very makeable. Unfortunately, we've been in a lot of those 3rd and longs this year, and we've probably made way more than what the league average is. But at the same time, we got to do a better job in the second half of staying on track, staying out of long yardage situations so we can keep those 3rd downs manageable.
Speaking of league averages, I know the offense is good. I know that you guys move the ball well, scoring's up in that. But red zone struggles, does that keep you up at night?
I think everything keeps me up at night. I mean, where the the expectations are so high. You know, the standards that have been set here are, you know, they're just high for everybody. And everybody wants to do a great job. And there's a lot of effort. And there's a lot of, you know, guys are putting in a lot of work. It's just, we just got to go get the job done. I mean, it's, at the end of the day, it's, you know, throwing and catching and, you know, just making the right reads. And we got to do a better job of that as we move forward.
You've had a good awareness when the defense has 12 or they're doing a substitution, 12 guys on the field. Yeah. Several times you've gotten them this year. You and Aaron Rodgers are probably the two best in the league at doing that.
Yeah.
How much is that on you? You guys practice that? You talk about that? Or is that a Tom Brady thing?
No, we talk about that a lot. I think that's a great advantage, especially in those situations where it's 3rd and 4, you know, 3rd and 3. And you know, if you can get it, it's an automatic first down. And I think we've got a few of those this year that everyone's really clued in. I mean, it's one thing the quarterback to know, but everyone's got to know. Everyone's got to be set so that, you know, you can play fast. You can't be moving and snap the ball. So everyone's got to be set. And then, you know, if you get that free 5 yards, you know, it's a great momentum builder for our offense.
All right, good stuff. We'll be back with more of the quarterback right after this.
Coming up on All Access. Big play, fourth in the King game on the
Bill end. Belichick reviews the top plays from the win over the Chargers.
He does a good job of playing like a linebacker and filling in the gaps here, you know, where there's space in the coverage to, you know, make sure that we have the ball fully contained.
But first, we continue our conversation with Tom Brady.
You know, I said he's a great teammate and a great friend. He always will be. And, you know, I really enjoyed working with him, and I wish him nothing but the best.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Gillette, official shave of the New England Patriots. By the Massachusetts State Lottery. Visit a lottery retailer today for the new 5x champions ticket. And by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner.
A history-making trip this week for our Patriots Coach of the Week. We head up to Everett to salute the Crimson Tide head coach, John DiBiaso. Last week, Everett walloped St. John's Prep to give Coach Dib his 300th career victory. In doing so, DiBiaso becomes just the 4th football coach in Massachusetts high school history to win 300 games.
If not for him, probably wouldn't be standing here in front of you today.
Presenting the award is Patriots Hall of Fame linebacker Andre Tippett.
Honored to give this award to you this year.
The Patriots Charitable Foundation will donate $1,000 to the Everett High School football program in the name of John DiBiaso. Congratulations.
This player profile is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. The quarterback rejoins me again. Go back to a couple days ago. You know, you've seen guys come and go on this football team. You know the business end of it. Jimmy gets traded. How surprised were you when you heard that?
Well, you know, anytime this time of year, you know, it's surprised, I think, would be the word. Just, you know, I'd been sitting in the quarterback room with him for a long time, and, you know, I said he's a great teammate and a great friend. He always will be, and, you know, I really enjoyed working with him, and I wish him nothing but the best.
You know, where you were picked, I was a 4th-round pick. This kid's picked in the 2nd round, yet when he was picked, you were 36. Now it's you and Brian Hoyer, and we'll get to Brian Hoyer, but how much do you feel that that is, boy, that's an expression of faith in me and the way I approach this game and what we have going on?
Well, I think, you know, we've done such a – I think this team in general, you know, has, you know, put itself in a great position to be successful. The coaches, the players, you know, and I love being a part of that, so – you know, I wake up every day thinking about how I can help this team win and the work I need to put in so I could be really held accountable for what I do, so I could be really dependable for the team. And, you know, we've had a great thing going, so, you know, hopefully we can keep doing it.
You talk about your dedication, the lifestyle, how much of what's going on and you still being able to perform at the level you're doing validates everything that you believe in, the stuff and the lifestyle that you live.
Well, I think it's hugely, you know, important. I've just learned a certain way that works for me, and I try to incorporate those things, you know, into my daily life, and it's year round, and I try to make a big commitment because it means a lot for me to be out on the field for our team. Yeah. It's a big commitment for me to be out there, and I take that very seriously. So, you know, I know the team pays me a certain amount of money. I feel it's my responsibility to do everything I can to be out there, and that doesn't just happen in the fall. It happens year round. Yeah. So I put a lot of effort in to try to do that, and you know, I've, you know, maintained things, and I think the routine has evolved over time, you know, and I just spent a lot of time working at it, and I think, you know, I can keep going as long as I feel good.
Yeah.
you know, I know I can think. So, you know, it takes a little effort and discipline, but as long as I could do that, I know I can be successful on the field.
Brian Hoyer's back. What's changed other than his wallet a little bit? He could buy dinner now, right?
I know. He definitely can. I know. It's actually fun talking football with him even in the last couple of days. Just, you know, he's seen a lot of different offenses. So it's always, you know, when someone else has been around other people, I like this. You know, how did that work? You know, what did you guys do here? And it's just, you know, that football knowledge that he's accumulated, I think, is different than when he left here. And I think he's, you know, we've always stayed in touch. We've been great friends since we met. So it's been a lot of fun.
We'll have more from our conversation with Tom Brady next week on All Access.
We're going to do this word association. We do it every year. Von Miller.
Oh.
A tour and then a lunch and then meeting Gronk. I didn't think that like Robert Kraft was gonna come out. I got scared, like I jumped and I was like, oh my God, I started freaking out.
Very nice to meet you. And you have a great day at the game tomorrow. Hopefully I get a touchdown for you, baby, again.
It's really cool how involved the Patriots are with this stuff.
Just look somewhere. It was nice to meet you.
Thank you, guys.
Hopefully you get to come to the game.
I am, yeah.
I'll probably lose my voice.
Good. It was such a good day. I'm really happy.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time now for the Bellastrator. And since we are here at the Bye Coach, we're going to take a look at some of the big plays in that Charger game.
Well, one of the great things in this game was the production we had from our running backs in the passing game. And, you know, those guys have done a great job for us all year long. But here's a good example of James White coming out of the backfield on a third and, you know, 10 type of play. And Chargers got a chance to make a play there short of the first down. James shows some nifty running, great with the ball in his hands, good ball security, picks up, you know, 20-some yards for first down. So Rex, James had over 150 yards for us in the passing game, and, you know, a lot of it was plays like that after the catch.
It's nice to have four guys. It seems like, you know, not only four, but also Brandon Bolden. You got five backs, so they can make that first guy miss, whether it's in the hole or whether it's out in space.
Right. Yeah, that position's been very productive for us. Well, here's the big play on the punt, and you know, several things on this one. First of all, you know, we know about our two gunners, John Jones and Matt Slater. Here's a play where Brandon King's able to get out and really and effectively become the third gunner for us on the play. Big key to this one is a great punt by Ryan Allen. He hits a tremendous ball with good hang time, direction, forces Benjamin to come and, you know, have to track it down. And here's our coverage. So Slater, King, and Jones on the backside. So very good leverage there on the ball. Again, a great punt here on the sideline. Benjamin handles it, picks it up. So when he picks this ball up on the, call it the 4-yard line, and takes it back into the end zone, it's now his responsibility to get it out. So there's no momentum. This is going to be a touchback because he's gained possession of the ball and then on his own carried it back into the end zone. So again, the great coverage here from Jones, King, and Slater, really, you know, containing the ball here, and John cutting them off, Brandon finishing the play. But having that extra guy down there, having Brandon King down there as kind of the third gunner, if you will, really, you know, closes the space on the return, and he ends up making a play for the safety.
That's a good point on the momentum, because a lot of people think, okay, well, he did catch it. Yeah, he did choose to run it in. So
yeah, had the ball gone off his hands and bounced into the end zone, then that would have been a touchback, or if he had downed it, it would have been a touchback. But on this one, he clearly took the ball into the end zone. So here's the same play from the end zone. Again, we see King coming down here, John Jones. And then, you know, Nate Ebner, you know, does a good job as the personal protector after he makes his block and covers. He does a good job of playing like a linebacker and filling in the gaps here. you know, where there's space in the coverage to, you know, make sure that we're had the ball fully contained. So big play for us in the kicking game on the coverage side of it. Then on the return or on the kickoff coverage, this is another good play here. First of all, you know, the get off. I mean, you know, a yard here is a yard somewhere down here or 2 yards here. So really good timing and get off here with the motion on the kickoff team. And this is John Jones coming on the backside, you know, running through this block, and then Brandon Bolden, you know, squeezing it down from the outside. So when these guys on the outside come down and make a tackle, that really puts a lot of pressure on the return team. It forces them to take somebody eventually. I mean, they can't keep letting this happen. To take one of these blockers here from the wedge or somebody come back here and seal the backside. And that just creates more opportunity for the guys, you know, to the play side or the kick side of the play. So, if they want to double team and they want to, you know, load up over here, then that gives us a chance on the backside. If they block the backside and single everybody up, then we have more space to penetrate to the return side. So, again, here's a good example of John Jones, you know, getting through the single block. Brandon Bolden squeezing out on the backside with good leverage, so the ball can't come back here, cut back, and then when it goes to our right, then, you know, Brandon and John make the tackle inside the 15-yard line.
So, 14 yards of field position right there.
Yeah. And then the kickoff return. So kickoff from the 30 after the offside penalty, you know, that was an opportunity for us here. And so here's the double team block. Here's another double team block where Nate comes over, and so we kind of get the coverage sealed off here from the sideline to the field, and then we're 3 for 3. So we have 2 in the wedge, and our short returner Slater coming over. So this is Dwayne Allen and James Devlin on the kickout block here on the wedge, and then Slater pulls through, gets the safety, and so there's the seam there for Dion to hit.
Another guy plays a ton that you talked about in your post game. You know, you got a lot of stars like Devin. You got a lot of guys contributing on special teams. You know, Devlin. You know, I mean, McCourty.
Yeah.
You got guys stepping up all across the field.
Absolutely, and those guys take a lot of pride in it. The guys who are offensive and defensive players, and then the guys who, you know, this is their primary job.
All right, defensively.
You know, defensively, you know, third down. We had some big third down stops, and I thought this was another outstanding play by John Jones. This is.
A lot of him.
He's in a slot here. Mm-hmm. You know, double on Allen, so that was, you know, we did a decent amount of that. And really get a good pass rush here from Trey Flowers. We'll see this in a second. But, you know, comes right at the middle. So Rivers is, you know, got Trey right in his face. There's a lot of traffic over here, but he really makes a great throw. And it comes down to the finish of the play. And, you know, John does an excellent job, as we've seen before him do. You know, get his hand in there, into the pocket of the ball, dislodge it, and, you know, make a big pass break up here. So, this is a little closer look at the play from the end zone. You can see Trey Flowers, coming inside here on the rush, and he makes a nice inside movement. You can't get there any faster than that, and is, you know, right in Rivers' face. And again,
wow.
Phil makes a great throw. But John's right there, and he comes in with that left arm, and as the ball's coming back in for the catch, he's able to finish the play, get the ball, get the hand, and pull it away and force an incomplete pass. So an excellent job here by John Jones on the finish. And then another third down situation late in the fourth quarter, third down and 8. You know, another situation where we you know, doubled Allen. So, took him, and then, you know, we're man for man here, with, you know, some help from Duran over the top. But another good job here by John and Chung. You know, Chung did a good job on these tight ends, on Henry and Gates. You know, they didn't have anywhere near the type of production they've been having. But again, good pass rush here. So, good coverage. You know, we've got Allen doubled, and, you know, forced the throw here. And this is Batamosi. So some third down stops there. Those are big for us.
Team's playing well. 6-2 at the bye. Enjoy it a little bit. I know you won't.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Coach. Good luck the rest of the way. There's your plays from the Chargers game. More Patriots All Access right after this.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Bank of America, official bank of the New England Patriots. By Putnam Investments, you, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing excellence through the power of teamwork.
Trick-or-treaters were in for a special treat this week at Gillette Stadium. More than 30 children battling cancer were invited to attend a Halloween party that featured some of their favorite players in costume.
Kids events always fall in play. I like this one a lot because seeing all the kids dressed up kind of reminds you of like the TV shows you watch as a kid. You're trying to guess what they dressed up as too.
This is a great event. I'm so glad I got to make it this year and get in costume. I love Halloween and I love spending, you know, time with these kids.
It looked like you're fighting crime, man. Come on now.
We got all the superheroes to get along today, so we're making sure we have a lot of fun playing all the games. It was just a good time for us.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Back now with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo in our Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. The backup quarterback. If Brady goes down, are you guys comfortable with the backup?
Yeah, I mean, probably a little bit less so than I would have been at Garoppolo State. I just feel like, Jimmy was here in the system, and I know Brian Hoyer has some of that, you know, experience with what he's doing, and I do think he'll go in there and, he'd be able to manage the game, and I feel like it would be okay. But obviously, Steve, when you're dealing with a guy like Tom Brady, I don't care if it's Jimmy Garoppolo, Brian Hoyer, or Ryan Mallett, or anybody else, there's a huge drop-off mm-hmm. when you're talking about the best who's ever played. You can't just plug and play at that position. Yeah, I know this is controversial. Tom Brady's special.
Okay? When I look at
don't
that,
we all know it?
That's right. When I look at the backup quarterbacks in the league, I put them in different categories. There's the backup that can maybe get you through a game in a sudden situation where your starter goes out and maybe start a game or two mm-hmm. and keep you afloat. And then there's other backups who are developing and look like future sort of stars, if you will. That might be a little strong, but I'd put Jimmy Garoppolo in that category, developing into mm-hmm. the star category, and Brian Hoyer into the first category. One thing I would say, though, of all the people that have come through the Patriots locker room over the last couple, decades in this Bill Belichick regime, Brian Hoyer is just a class person. So I think the dynamics of the quarterback room are going to be pretty good because Brady Hoyer is still very close, and Hoyer is just an all-around good guy.
Let's talk about guys coming back for the second half. I want to start with Stephon Gilmore. What does that do for the secondary?
Yeah, well, I think that's important to get some of those bodies back out there, especially in the secondary. I would throw Eric Rowe into that mix as well, and I don't know where he is physically. Right. That looked pretty painful, and it looked like it was really hampering him when we last saw him. So, but to get Gilmore back out there, I think what it's done is it's allowed you to create some depth at cornerback. I think Johnson Badamosi has fared reasonably well, in his
better
place.
Better than expected?
Oh, absolutely. For sure. Absolutely better than I expected. I thought he was just a career special teamer. He's played competitively at the position. So now with him and Jonathan Jones, I think you have a couple more guys, Mike, that you feel good about.
Yeah, you did build the depth a little bit. The question for me is, which Gilmore are you going to get?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to get the guy that looked like he was playing better in Tampa, or are you going to get the one against Carolina where they had the trouble with the bunch formations right. and all that stuff? So a little bit of an unknown to me, and honestly, from the perspective of you worry about disrupting a little bit of the rhythm and momentum that cornerback group has gotten as you integrate Gilmore and Rowe back into the mix. So I sort of want to wait and see on that one, Steve, to see how that plays out.
Last question. 8 games left. Who will be the Patriots' toughest opponent?
Toughest opponent down the stretch? I would say probably Pittsburgh. I know that no one likes to play in Denver, but I just don't think that's a very good football team. But the larger thing to me that sticks out, Mike, is right off the top, right when we get out of the bye, it's the first of 5 road games in 6 weeks. And I think that is a very difficult task for anybody. I don't care how good you are. So that stretch, if they could come out of that 4-2, mm-hmm. I think that would be really setting them up for success come January.
I have 2 answers, 1 conventional, 1 unconventional. I'm going to go Buffalo at Buffalo.
Really?
Which I think is a very surprise team this year, playing good football and going into Buffalo in early December is always tough. That's my conventional answer. My unconventional answer is themselves, because I really believe this, Steve. The league is down this year, and I think that when they play the way they're capable of, anything is possible for them, and that it's not about another team as much as it is about themselves.
Looking in the mirror. All right, guys, thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
But that will do it for this week's edition of Patriots All Access. For Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, I'm Steve Burton. Have a great week, everybody.